Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone is having an absolutely fantastic day today. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Oh, Austin, doing absolutely wonderful, for this is the day the Lord hath made. I shall rejoice and I shall be glad in it, because God is in control of things. You know, yesterday, your Aunt Jenny passed. She went on to the next world. And, you know, I've noticed I didn't say die. You know, we don't really die when we're a born again Christian. We just go on to another realm, a different place. And, you know, and that's, we live forever once we're born again. From the day you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, from that faith forward, you live forever. Just thought I'd mention that. But, you know, we went over to visit her yesterday. You know, she was in the hospice and she didn't even know we were there. And what was interesting, they told me, they said, well, you know, the hearing is the last thing to go. So she can hear what you're saying. So Austin and I laid hands on her. We prayed for her. And it was so wonderful. We actually had her hearing. You knew she was listening to us, and her breathing sped up. She got excited that we were there praying for her. And we just prayed that God would help her to make the transition over to Him. And it was wonderful that she was able to pass last night. You say, well, why would you have joy about somebody dying? Well, I don't have joy that she died, but I have joy that she's no longer in the mortal body, which was so racked with disease, and that she wasn't even conscious any longer. And I was just happy that she got to be with Christ. See, that's the joy that we have and the hope that we have when we become a Christian. And here's the other thing, too. When a person's about to pass, you know, they're not really sure because they've never done that before. And so it's important that we as Christians, as believers, as family members, as people who love those individuals, are there with them, and that we give them support. And we show our faith and our love by our actions. You know, the Bible says in James 2:19, it says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that God is one, good for you. Even the demons believe that and shudder. O foolish man, who do you want evidence that faith without deeds is worthless? And you know, and the reason I wanted to read this morning is this. You know, support one another and love one another. And be careful with people who invoke the name of God, because even the demons believe in God and they shudder. If they talk about God, if they talk about a relationship with God, they need to be talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ, you know, Son of the Most High, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Because, guys, there's a lot of New Age people out there who talk about God. There was one lady, I'm not going to mention any names, and she wrote for a National Patriotic magazine, and she was always talking about God, always talking about God, always talking about God. And she never talked about Jesus. Well, come to find out, she wasn't even saved. That she was basically a New Ager. And she was supposed to be, you know, a Christian. She was masquerading and talking about Christianity all the time, but she never said, I am a Christian. She never said, I love Jesus. She never said any of that. In fact, regrettably, I'd actually had her on as a guest long ago, many, many years ago on the show. And then I started finding out who she was and what she believed in. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to pass on this. Guys, does that mean that you have to be a Christian to be on our show? Absolutely not. But here's the difference. I don't want somebody pretending they're a Christian and being on our show, invoking the name of God and being on our show, acting like they're a born-again believer and basically being on the show and deceiving people. You know, it's interesting to me. You know, a lot of people are out there promoting Christianity, and a lot of people do it for worldly gain. You know, and the Bible specifically addresses this, about how these people are going out and using the name of Jesus for worldly gain and to gain stuff. And you see this a lot with the TV evangelists. You know, and guys, it's important that we as Christians aren't like that. That we practice what we preach. That our nays be nay and our yays be nay, yea. And that we cross our T's and we dot our I's and we do all the things that we're supposed to do. Why? Because if we don't, why are we different than the world? If we're trying to curse those who persecute us, the Bible says to love those who persecute us. It's basically, and let me explain something to you. The Roman Empire was the most powerful empire on earth 2,000 years ago. I mean, if the Roman government decided they were going to invade you and take over your country and kill you and take your stuff, they did it. They just took your stuff. Christianity could have never come against the Roman Empire and taken it over from a military standpoint. They did it through love. They did it through martyrdom, if you believe that. I mean, that sounds awful, but they did it that way. And then finally, they started realizing, the Romans did, that the Christians were right, and you couldn't live like that. And then finally, you know, Constantine brought the Christianity into the Roman Empire, I think it was 323. And of course, he brought a lot of paganism with it because of the Romans were so pagan. But it took hundreds of years. But it wasn't won. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, guys. We've got to understand that. Now, does that mean we shouldn't be prepared? No, we should be prepared. Does that mean we shouldn't defend ourselves? No, we should defend ourselves. Does that mean we should defend our families? Yep, that means we should defend our families. Does that mean we should have some food saved up just in case we have a apocalypse and we run out of food? Yeah, we need to be able to feed our families. The Bible says that's being a good steward. But does that mean that we're supposed to run around and hate those who diligently persecute us, who do the things that they do? No, we don't do that. Not on this show, we don't do that. I'm telling you this, guys. You can't allow yourself to get into that mindset. Now, will you defend yourself against these people? Absolutely, yes. Will you defend yourself if attacked against these people? Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Verbally, whatever. It doesn't make a difference. You're going to tell them how the truth is. You're going to explain it to them and let them know. You know, and if they try to attack you with weaponry, you're going to have to defend yourself. You know, and once I was talking to you guys a few years ago, and I was talking about, you know, homosexuality. I'm diametrically opposed to homosexuality. I'm diametrically opposed to abortion. I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. And I believe that, you know, we shouldn't have an alternate lifestyle like that that goes against the Word of God. But I will say this. If I'm in a ditch and we have an invasion of the United States and we're being tried and a foreign military force is trying to take us over, you know, would I rather have a gay guy in the ditch with me who knows how to use a gun and defend himself and who's fighting the globalists, or a dead patriot in the ditch with me? Yeah, I'd rather have the gay guy who knows how to use the gun, because at that point in time, we have something else we have to be concerned about rather than trying to sort out sin in someone's life. Because, guys, here's the thing. We all do things we should not do. We all sin. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And if it wasn't for grace, none of us would be justified before God through Christ. It's because God gave us grace. It's an unmerited favor. And that's what's so important to remember this, guys. We need to think about what we're doing at all times. So should we go out and do things we know we shouldn't do, like seeing this new Skywalker movie with a full-blown lesbian kiss in it, and Disney now has gone over to the dark side, so to speak, so use vernacular for Star Wars, and basically put full-blown homosexuality in a movie for Disney? The answer is no. Should we support it? No. Should we give them our money? No. Should we go see it? No. Should we let them know that we're not going to support this? You know, we as Christians have crossed too many lines in the past. That's why we have found ourselves in this position. I asked you guys yesterday, when are you going to stop supporting Netflix, who's blaspheming Christ at a doggone special they're doing, is Christ being a gay Jesus? I mean, you know, it's so ironic. Last year, you know, in Tel Aviv, they hung Jesus Christ on a cross as Ronald McDonald. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the only people that protested over there were the Palestinian Christians. Where do we draw the line? When do we say no? When do we say it's enough? When do we make a choice that we're not going to support this mess anymore? Guys, if you still have a Netflix subscription, you need to reevaluate that subscription if they're going to do this. And they've done this, and they continue to do this. When are we going to stop supporting the very guillotines that are going to be built to kill you? There's your question. There's your question. Think through that. I love you guys. Let us try to bring honor and glory to everything that we do, everything we think, speak, and say about what's going on with God. Let us try to put Him first in our lives. Let us bring honor. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But guys, it's difficult to do those things if we continually compromise our lives. Please listen. I love you guys. I had the chance to pray for you guys this morning. It was my privilege. I appreciate you. Officer, what do you think of what's your first story, bud?
Well said, bud. And another agency company use that a lot of people still use, especially for personal usage, that I always recommend to stay away from as much as possible, is Facebook. That's another one that's continually going further and further down the rabbit hole. And not just with what is being exposed on it, but also what you are losing on Facebook. As you've seen numerous occasions now, Facebook has been hacked. Data has been lost. data has been given, however you want to try to talk about what Facebook did, it's continually happening. And now, again, another report just came out that 267 million Facebook users, almost all of them in the United States, had their user IDs, names, phone numbers, and address exposed online and shared on the dark web. This is not even a joke. The Facebook information, mostly residing in the U.S., was discovered in the database by cybersecurity firm Comparitech. The report warned that people identified in the database could be targeted, although it is not yet clear how the sensitive information was exposed. Okay. They said that allegedly there could have been automated bots that found the information and dug it up and basically secured it and then essentially breached it and then published it. Now, there's also, too, if you guys remember back just in September, a few months ago, more than 400 million Facebook users' phone numbers were exposed. Then you remember the scandal back in 2018 when they revealed that the Cambridge Analytica had harvested the personal data of millions of people on Facebook profile without their consent and used it for political advertisement purposes. There's multiple instances like this also on Facebook. This is reoccurring. Now, if you believe for one second that this 267 million Facebook users' information was hacked by a random bot in another country accidentally and nobody knows how it happened, I've got some really nice ripe swampland down here in Florida I would love to sell you for a really high price. Obviously, guys, I'm being sarcastic. This continually happens with one of the largest social media platforms in the entire world that is worth billions of dollars, that has next-level software and protection software to keep this information private, but somehow they continually keep getting hacked over and over and over and over and over again, and their information keeps getting leaked over and over and over again. This is not, and I'm telling you right now, this is my opinion and many other people's opinions that I know that are involved in security. This is not an accident with Facebook. Facebook basically is on the double dealing underneath the table. They're selling your information to these companies, to these hackers, to these blacklisters, to the dark web guys. And it may not be Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg's handing over your information to somebody on the dark web. It's not that simple. They're doing this basically under the table through multiple different factions. Remember, Facebook was built and funded for the CIA. The CIA doesn't have their information hacked accidentally by some random bot in another country and can't figure out where it came from. But they work hand in hand with the NSA and monitor every phone call, every IP address, every data, every single thing that gets transferred in the entire digital world. NSA knows about it. So when they say crap like this, I literally just giggle in my chair. We don't know how it happened. It just happened to get breached. We'll try to figure it out. Better luck next time. Oh, by the way, this will probably happen again in 3 months, just letting you know that. So be prepared for if more stuff gets breached. I mean, it's a joke. And so this stuff is continually happening. So again, I encourage you, do not be putting large amounts of private, confidential information on Facebook if you still choose to use it. I don't recommend using it. If you have to use it for a business, like we have a Facebook, a Health Masters Facebook, we really don't do much of anything with it. We'll put up like a promotion or a product that we're releasing, and that's about it. But these people that are constantly putting up their location, where they're going, what they're doing, who they're with, you know, oh, I'm leaving to go on a two-week vacation, guys. Make sure if you need anything, leave me a voicemail because nobody will be home. People post stuff like that on Facebook, and I just, it's like hand to face. Like, really, guys, really? This is really what you're doing? And remember, anytime you have your permissions on with Facebook, all of that information goes into their system, and that is the information that they're hacking and they're selling. When you list the permissions on there, and your microphone, your camera, your location, your data, your photos, your texts, all that stuff, when you have it on open privileges for Facebook, they have 100% unfettered access to every single thing you do on your phone, and all that data is being sold on an almost monthly basis now with Facebook, under the guise of being breached. So just understand that. And also, too, to top it off now with Facebook, they have now said that they're promising to crack down on the promotion of vaping and guns on social media. They announced Wednesday that so-called influencers on both Facebook and Instagram apparently now will no longer be allowed to run branded content that promotes vaping, e-cigarettes, or firearms. Now, this is very interesting because, as you guys know, I'm not a proponent of vaping or e-cigarettes. I've never thought they were a good idea. The research behind them is extremely toxic as far as a lot of the stuff that they put in it. You know, I've seen some people that have used it to get off cigarettes, though, which has been very popular now, because you can apparently get organic cartridges. And from the research that I've seen, you sparingly using organic vape cartridges versus smoking a pack of raw cigarettes a day, it definitely is healthier for you if you're trying to get off of it. And apparently a lot of people have been using that. Now, what's ironic about this is the ban will not extend to branded content for products such as alcohol or medications. So here's the kicker on this now. Instagram and Facebook is now going to ban the promotion of e-cigarette vape products and firearms, but they're not banning alcohol or medication promotions. Now, here's the thing about vaping that I've told you guys so much. They absolutely, the tobacco industry, the alcohol industry, the pharmaceutical industry, they absolutely hate vaping. This is why they came out with that report a couple months ago where they said, like, 7 people have died from vape in the last 5 years. You know, we have to ban it. Ban it all. Why? Because it was massively impeding in Big Tobacco's multi-billion dollar profit every year. Big Tobacco's right up there with Big Pharma. They love making their money, and they love increasing the pharmaceutical industrial complex medication production, and they love increasing the hospital sales. This is what they do. It goes round and round. The same thing why glyphosate hasn't been banned. Same thing I told you the other day, why Splenda hasn't been banned, even though since 1991 there's been research coming out demanding that the product be researched more thoroughly because of how toxic it is on mammals. They don't care. So now they're coming out and saying you can't advertise vapes or guns because why? Those are two things that the globalists do not agree with because guns, A, diametrically go against what they want to do as far as freedom and control. Because remember, once they come in and they start not allowing people to own certain firearms, they have a further degree of control over you. It's ironic. In Virginia now, I saw a photo the other day is released, Virginia Second Amendment Sanctuary County maps. And as of like 2 days ago, every single county, with the exception of one county, and with the exception, I think, of like 6 cities in the entire state of Virginia, have now passed a Second Amendment Sanctuary resolution, whether it was a resolution or a limited resolution or an additional measures plus resolution. Every single county except for one has passed it, and like 6 cities have not passed it. Other than that, the entire state now, the entire state essentially, is a Second Amendment sanctuary state. This is a huge deal because this is something that did not start on a state level. This state started on a grassroots city and county level. This is really, really cool to see this happen, but it shows you that the American population is starting to wake up. We already have some movement down here in Florida. Numerous other states have started to do this now and follow suit. This should be a wake-up call, though, because there's a high probability they're going to try to stop, essentially, this level of degree of, you know, rebellion is what they're going to call it. It's a rebellion. Once this hits in January and they get all these bills in Virginia and they start trying to pass them, this is going to be something interesting to see. And this is why I've always told people as well, Dad and I have talked about this before. Many people have discussed this on the aspects of roadblocks, traffic stops, and firearm confiscations via vehicles. Majority of these individuals that are in law enforcement, whether it be, you know, they be compromised, whether it be federal agents that are, majority of them are compromised in the CIA, ATF, DEA, so forth, they're more than likely not going to do full-blown door-to-door, no-knock search warrants to seize people's firearms in every neighborhood around the entire state of Virginia. That literally would be the dumbest thing you could possibly do in that state and many other gun states, because once the first house gets hit, the second house gets hit, by the time the fourth or fifth house gets hit, you're going to have ham radios lit up. You're going to have two-way radios lit up. Everybody's going to be basically on the radios discussing the fact that that whole neighborhood got hit, and you're going to have a doggone gunfight in the middle of the street, and it's going to start the second civil war. That's what's going to happen. happen. They're not going to do it like that. They're going to do it very subtly. This is why they've already implemented red flag gun laws in a lot of these states. So they can go in, they can do an analysis on an individual, they can look to see how many guns they've legally bought. Of course, they won't know how many guns they've bought basically off the record, but that doesn't matter. They bought numerous guns legally, they're going to have a record of them. They're going to look at their profile, how many times they've had basically altercations with law enforcement, how many things they've looked at on the web, how many things Facebook has basically monitored them on, how many memes they've posted. And this isn't conjecture, guys. This is already done multiple times when people have had red flag gun laws put on them. And then if those don't work, they'll start basically doing mandatory traffic stop roadblocks or random stops where they'll basically pull you over for failure to yield or failure to use a blinker, and then basically arrest you while you're on the road, because while you're driving, it's one of the times you're most vulnerable because you're not in your position of fortified building anymore. You're in your vehicle, and then law enforcement pulls you over. They're already in a position of authority over you. They're behind you. They have their lights on. If it's at night, they have their flashlight and their stinking spotlight in your mirror so they can blind you the whole time so you can't see who's walking up on you. They do all these things as tactics to keep you subdued while they're engaging you in a traffic stop. Now, if it's something very petty and you're getting a speeding ticket, whatever, who cares? However, in most cases, I think they're going to start using this to try to hit the heavy hitters in Virginia first, the guys that are the grassroots movements, the ones that are leading this, so they can try to start something. But again, if this starts, people are going to get wind of it really soon. So I don't know if Virginia legislation is really going to try to do this to go forward next year and start basically a revolutionary war again, or if this is something they're just beta testing to see how the population is going to handle it. I don't know. But one thing I do know is that they're going more and more and more and more totalitarian in so many states now to try to force their will. Remember what I already told you guys? All this information, all this technology, facial recognition, monitoring everything you do, it's already up and running on a regular basis. I mean, I got flagged within 5 minutes at Disney Springs with facial recognition and had 7 sheriff's officers and security guards in aggregate all together stop me and detain me because they asked me if I was carrying a firearm. This wasn't something that is just, you know, speculation now. They're already implementing these measures. And I told you guys before, Epcot is a beta test. Epcot has always been a beta test since the 80s when they founded that entire place over there. Experimental, basically, technology, facial recognition software, monitoring what people do, seeing how subdued they'll become, seeing how submissive they'll become to come into a park, and then monitoring everything they do. They do this so then they can implement it in real-world technology. This is why they're trying to get all these cameras along all these cities. They want to get 5G in after that so then they can, everything will be on an entire smart grid all the time. And so as soon as you walk out of the house, as soon as a camera hits you with a red light, as soon as they see you get in your vehicle, it's automatically going to flag you, it's going to autonomously track you, and it's going to monitor everywhere you go, and all they have to do is ping it off your cell phone. Remember, the cell phones aren't cell phones anymore, guys. They're not really cell phones. They're tracking modules with a phone app added on to them. That's really all they are. Just be real about it right now. So that's the biggest thing we have to understand, is that if something does begin to go sideways and we do have some massive impeding incident that starts something, realistically, the first thing you need to do is dump the cell phone. Whether you want to stuff it in a lead bag or bury it in the microwave or do something like that for a later date and then go to ham radio or basically go to two-way radio, that's really what you're going to need to do. And that's why I've always encouraged people, have radios, have backup communications, have the ability to use ham radios, because if you need to communicate, you need to be able to do so without cell phones, because cell phones will be our Achilles heel in this situation if we start dealing with some type of tyrannical invasion. And that's at least my stance on it, Deb.
Well, awesome. Several other things. If we have people coming door to door, which I don't think is going to happen, you know, they tried to beta test that in New Orleans years ago, and it worked out very badly. I mean, the media really even went after, the alternative media went after with all the gun confiscation they were doing in New Orleans. They realized very quickly that, you know, the neighborhood builds up a resentment and starts picking up against that. Now, I remind you, when the power was out of New Orleans, when all of this happened, there were no cell phones because the cell phone towers were down, or there was only limited use of those. You know, you're trying to do this in a neighborhood with a group of people that have power, and they've got Twitter, and they've got cell phones, and they've got social media, that they can bring so many people to resistance in a matter of hours that it would be mind-boggling. And they're seeing that in Virginia now, with literally people all over the state joining the militia. I mean, right now. I mean, one of our listeners, Gene, already did that. And by the time he had joined, a few hours later, there was almost another 100 who had already joined that same local militia. I mean, people are lining up to do this because they realize that this is a fight. This isn't a game anymore. And I personally believe, like you said, this is a beta test in Virginia. They're trying to see what they can get away with. They always are testing everything. Remember, they test it by, they do it by algorithms, by data points. And what they do is they say, okay, if we do this, what's the public going to do? Say, this is just marketing is what it is. They want to test it. If we support the rise of Skywalker and we look at and we know they have a full-blown lesbian kiss, are we given the green light now to go ahead and put full-blown homosexual content into our movies? Isn't that the question? And that's the same thing that's going on right now with this other stuff. And now, my big question is this. Where's Donald Trump? He's doing rallies in all these different states, and he's not talking about Virginia. He's not talking about the Second Amendment rights in Virginia. He's not talking about recalling the governor in Virginia. People, well, he's too busy. He just got impeached. He thought the impeachment was a joke. He was laughing about it the other day. He's continuing to do rallies. And he'll never get through the Senate. We all know that. But we got to ask ourselves the question. And remember, I said this to you guys. We'll know what's going to happen with the economy based upon what the Fed does, contracting the M1 money supply and the stopping of repos, which they haven't stopped. The Dow went up again yesterday with Trump after he got impeached. Now think about that for a second. So that means that this Federal Reserve Bank, this Rothschild Bank, wants to keep him in office, or they'll wait until right before this impeachment stuff going on and they'll drop it down. It's exactly what I told you the scenario is going to be. It's already exactly the two possible scenarios are unfolding right now in front of us. But either way, it's the Federal Reserve Bank that wants to maintain the economy and wants to maintain the status of Trump with the approval ratings. And why are they doing that? Because the Sabbatean Kabbalists, the Luciferians, who worship Ein Sof, the great snake in this great tree, they support Donald Trump. Because if they didn't, they'd contract the M1 money supply, crush the economy, make sure he wasn't going to be reelected. Because he supports them because his son-in-law and his daughter are members of Chabad who practice and openly teach Kabbalah. Now, we can pretend like none of this is happening since we're only people that talk about it mostly anyhow. But we can always say, well, this isn't what's going on. Okay, well, whatever. But let's see what Donald Trump is doing. Here's an article just came out, and he got blasted on this one. It's Donald Trump, just by Ben Feuerherd. It says, Donald Trump jokes that the late Representative John Dingell is in hell. Now, you know, this is one of the speeches that he's doing. And a Representative Debbie Dingell said her healing process was damaged by President Trump on Wednesday when he made a joke that implied her late husband, former Representative Don Dingell, may be in hell. Now you think, what the heck? Did Trump really say this? You know, here's what she said, quote, what it says. It says, it's the nicest thing that ever happened. Thank you so much. John would be so thrilled. He's looking down. He'd be so thrilled. Thank you so much. Okay, John directly told him. And then he says, maybe he's looking up. He goes, I don't know. Maybe, Donald Trump said. But let's assume he's looking down. Looking up means he's looking up to heaven and he's in hell. So Donald Trump's joking about this lady's ex-husband being in hell and looking up into heaven from hell. And, you know, you think, well, why would he say something like that to a grieving widow? I don't know why he if someone just managed to take his doggone Twitter feed and look at it before he sends this stuff out or says these things in his doggone seminars, or not his seminars, his rallies, maybe we could try to fix some of this mess. But Donald Trump is not who we think he is. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not a proponent of what happened to him in this impeachment hearing. This Rothschild control, both sides of the narrative mess that we've got going on in Congress now with dual Israeli citizens impeaching Trump. I don't want like any of that. Of course, it wasn't all dual Israeli citizens who voted for the impeachment in Congress. I'm not going to say that, but the head guys who were running it were. So the whole problem is this. Why is it that nobody wants to discuss any of this stuff? Well, it's because the economy is doing so well. Oh, well, okay, let's start there. Yeah, you're right. The economy is doing well. The stock market is doing well. But that has nothing to do with Donald Trump. That has to do with the central bank and the money supply. Remember what happened back in the 20s? Well, you don't remember this. I don't remember this. I read about it. My dad remembered this, but I don't remember this. He used to talk about it. My dad was born in 1901, 1902. But he told me, he said, what happened in the early 1920s after World War I, the banks started really loosening up the credit lines and really allowing people to get loans and started massively increasing the amount of money in circulation. And people started speculating by putting it in the stock market. Sounds familiar, doesn't it, guys? And we had what was called the Roaring Twenties. And the stock market went through the roof. And people started making money hand over fist. And a lot of family farms, my dad told me, that had been paid for by the first or second generation that had been around for over 100 years, they started going out and mortgaging their land to the banks to allow themselves to raise more money to put into the stock market, because they would make more money on the stock market than they would from the selling of their crops. And hence, that's what happened to a lot of the family farms. And then in 1929, the bankers went out and warned the Rockefellers and all the other big players who were working with them that they were about to contract the M1 money supply, which means they were going to make it impossible to pay back loans because the money wouldn't exist to do it with. They would take it out of circulation. And so the big boys all sold their stocks and basically walked out and made a whole bunch of money. Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it, guys? And all of a sudden, the Rothschilds at that point contracted the M1 money supply. And when they did that, the stock market collapsed. People were jumping out of windows. They were selling their assets for pennies on the dollar. They were killing themselves, committing suicide, because the entire system had fallen and failed. This is the same group of people that are still running the money supply and running the stock market right now. It's a rigged game. It's a sucker's bet is what it is. You think, well, you can make a lot of money. I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying it's a rigged game. And if they don't stop pumping this money supply up, they're going to continue to massively increase inflation, which is already, by the way, through the roof. If gold was allowed to go where gold needs to go, gold would be through the roof right now at $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $10,000 an ounce. But that's not what they allow us to do. They basically sit back and they go, hey, you know, we're going to just do whatever we want to do and manipulate the economy. And nobody will stop back and take a look at it and realize it's always these same guys that are always involved in all of this stuff. Oh, by the way, I want to bring this up too. Tulsi Gabbard was defiant yesterday. And when they asked her what she was going to do as far as impeaching the president, she just said present. She basically abstained and didn't say anything. And now she's under fire. But, you know, I think that's – I personally, you know – I know she's a Zionist. I got that, all right? But the reality is this. At least she had the guts to go against the democratically controlled Congress and say, hey, wait a minute. This ain't right. We don't need to do this. So I'm just going to go ahead and basically say, no, I'm going to abstain from this vote. And, oh, by the way, remember what I always told you yesterday? Nancy Pelosi compares the impeachment to the Battle of the Bulge against Nazi Germany. I can't even make this stuff up. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi launched the debate over the impeachment of Donald Trump on Wednesday by comparing the Democrat struggle to remove him from office to the Battle of the Bulge against Nazi Germany in World War II, described as Hitler's last gamble. I guess he's Hitler. The battle began in 1944 when the Nazis sent 200,000 troops into a surprise attack against American forces. Though the Americans prevailed, 100,000 Americans were killed or wounded over 2 months of fighting. Pelosi drew an analogy between the impeachment today and that battle, the largest ever fought by the U.S. Army. You know what? Again, I think we need to go dig up some more Nazi generals, Nancy Pelosi. I'm sure they're still in their uniforms. The wool probably hasn't really eroded or could be basically rotted because they were sealed pretty airtight in their caskets. And you need to go ahead and prop up their corpses beside you because it kind of matched you anyhow because you're like a stinking mummy. And then basically say, these are the ones who are fighting. And what? She, bless her heart, she's so senile and she's so suffering with senile dementia, she can't keep her teeth in her mouth, and now she's basically saying this about Nazi Germany. Guys, newsflash, the Nazis are dead. Just a newsflash. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, no, absolutely, no doubt about it. I mean, this, the whole thing, again, like I said, they're using this because they want to try to cover up what's going on. Not to mention they are, and there's no doubt about this, they are trying to basically break down the constitutional republic. I mean, this, that's what it is. I mean, they're trying to completely dissolve and basically show that the rule of law no longer exists, that we basically have a constitutional republic that is on its knees, basically about to die. That's what they're doing. And that's why they're doing this right now, to prove this, that they are in control, and they are trying to cover up everything that's going on now with the USMCA treaty, which basically said now they've moved it to basically the beginning of the year, it looks like, to vote on it. The House voted on it, yes, but the Senate still has to vote on it, and they're not going to do so until January. So hopefully that gives us a little bit of time to demand that this thing does not get passed. And also, too, they wanted to pass their $1.4 trillion spending bill, another spending bill. So apparently that just went through. I saw something on that. They were discussing the fact that it was like 2,300 pages, and it got dropped on everybody's desk like 2 days before they were supposed to vote on it. So apparently they're supposed to be voting on that as well. Once you start seeing what's going on, it doesn't surprise you to realize how ridiculous a lot of this stuff is. Also, too, in other news out in Iowa, if you guys remember back last summer, there's an individual, Adolfo Martinez, 30 years old, who basically was arrested for arson, and basically they've now charged him with a hate crime. And actually, on Wednesday, he was sentenced to 16 years in prison. 16 years in prison because he took a LGBT gay rainbow queer homosexual flag and stole it from a gay church and then basically stomped on it, burnt it, and made threatening gestures about it. So he essentially was charged with third-degree arson and violation of an individual's rights. Story County Attorney Jessica Reynolds said the hate crime charges were added because Martinez, suspected of criminal mischief against someone's property because of what it represents as far as sexual orientation. Now, the way they got away with charging him for this long, putting him away in prison this long, is he had been arrested previously for another arson charge years back. So he faced 5 years in prison for the hate crime and arson, another year for basically the threatening gesture, and then another month apparently because of the reckless use of fire. And so, but because he had been arrested before for arson, they made sure they put him in for the longest possible extent. They even had to go in, from what I read, and read all the statutes on the laws as far as for a previous arson arrestee and try to go in and figure out how to add on as many years as physically possible. And 16 years was the absolute maximum they could do with stacking all of them together on an alleged habitual offender for committing a second arson hate crime on somebody. Now, 16 years in prison, this guy's going away. Now, I'm going to say something. I don't encourage arson. I don't like arson. Playing with fire can be extremely deadly. I've seen people's houses burn down. It's not funny. It's not cool. It's not okay. Running around lighting things on fire is not okay to do in a civilized society. I'll be honest with you. Just doing it randomly, lighting people's stuff on fire, I'm not cool with it. However, throwing somebody in prison for 16 years for simply lighting a flag on fire is unbelievably outrageous to me as well, because here's why. He didn't assault anybody. There was no battery committed. There was no bodily harm, no bodily injury, no death, no dismemberment. Where's the victim? Where's the injured party? He made gestures and burned a flag on the ground. Arson, okay, tag him with arson. Got 3 years maximum penalty on arson. It's a habitual offender. Okay, got 3 years. That's horrible. Shouldn't be burning stuff. But 16 years now for intentionally trying to manipulate the system and tagging on a hate crime onto it because he burned a gay homosexual flag. This, again, is being used as an example, as a showpiece to try to tell everybody, you will submit to this. You will not disrespect the homosexual agenda. In fact, you will embrace it, you will like it, you will love it, because we want you to do it. And if you don't like it, if you do anything to us that we don't agree with completely, we're going to make sure we throw you in prison for the maximum amount of time we can physically manipulate the system into giving you. So this is something that was quite troubling to me. Like I said again, arson's not okay. definitely needs to go to jail for running around lighting things on fire, making gestures and burning people's property. That's not okay. But 16 years because you're tagging it into a hate crime now for burning a homosexual flag. When's the last time you saw somebody go to prison for burning an American flag? We've seen numerous cases of individuals doing that. Antifa's done it repeatedly. All these doggone protesters do it. They don't even get arrested when they do it. It's free speech. You can do it because it's free speech. It's their right to express themselves. They don't even get arson charges. Yet this guy does it because it's a homosexual flag and he went to a jury trial and there's apparently a queer on the jury. They made sure they made an example out of this man, and now he's in prison for 16 years. He's 30 years old, so he'll be almost 50 when he gets out of jail now, Dad. Unbelievable.
You know, Austin, I don't even know what to say. I mean, Nancy Pelosi, her whole family were mafiosa. I mean, Hillary Clinton leaves a trail of dead bodies everywhere she goes. You know, Barack Obama basically does Fast and Furious and you know, an IRS gate and invades foreign country and does what they did to Libya. George Bush invades a foreign country and basically kills the leader after they knew that he did not have any weapons of mass destruction, so it has him hung. And so forth and so on, as it goes on and on and on. Two systems of justice in this country. One is if you have the ability from a political standpoint and the financial wherewithal to go in and fight any type of charge against you and turn around and basically walk free. Okay, that's one. Or and never even have the charges brought against you. And two is if you go against the mainstream media, politically correct agenda, and you say something or you do something, now you're going to go in jail for a big chunk of your life because you burn a flag. All right, where's the justice in any of this? And this is the problem that we're seeing in the United States. And this is what's causing all these lines to be drawn. This is what's causing the lines to be drawn, because as Christians, we can say, well, you know, we're going to go ahead and take our children to see Star Wars because we believe that, you know, sooner or later they're going to be out of our house anyhow. And that we're going to have to teach them how to deal with homosexuality when they leave here. But in the meantime, we're going to go ahead and support it with our money. Where is the logic in any of that? Shouldn't it be, we're not going to take the children to see Star Wars because they're openly promoting a homosexual agenda, and we need to teach our children to stand firm against this? Guys, think through what I'm saying. I'm not making this stuff up. Where are we going to be in 100 years if we keep doing this? Where is this slippery slope going to take us? We burn a flag, we go to prison for 20 years? What happened to freedom of speech, freedom of expression? What happened to all of these different things? What in the world are we doing, and why is it okay? I mean, look at this. This is another article from Breitbart. Transgender, listen to this, a transgender former employee sues Nike for misgendering. Okay, what the heck? What does that even mean? Why isn't that even thrown out of court? A transgender former Nike employee has filed a civil rights lawsuit against the sportswear giant alleging discrimination. Jazz Lyles, who once worked as a computer engineer at Nike's Beaverton, Oregon headquarters, is claiming that the woke company mistreated her by refusing to accept her transgender pronouns and did not stop other employees from harassing her. Lyles, who was born a female, who now says she's I'm not going to read this crap. This is stupid. It's all stupid. It's the fact that we've got to basically be in a situation now where a former employee can come back and sue us because they said, wow, by the way, why I work there, you guys didn't protect me against people who didn't want to call me the name that I chose to pick for myself for the pronoun. Where? This is, again, out of chaos will come a new world order. They're trying to create as much chaos as they possibly can. This is from the gay Kenyan and his transgender wife, according to Joan Rivers. This is where all this started. He was used as a figure to push this agenda forward. And this is the problem that we have right now in the United States. We have too many Christians who have walked away from the Word of God, have compromised their beliefs, have accepted this lesbian, gay, homosexual lifestyle as an alternative lifestyle, and basically have endorsed it by giving the people their money in order to support it. So it's really a weird situation that we all get into. I mean, it really is. I mean, where do we draw the line? Do we have to be an old fogey and say, no, we're not going to do that? Or do we have to be a committed Christian and say, no, we're not going to do that? It all depends on the way you look at it, how you frame it. how you tell your children. If you say, no, we're not going to allow this simply because here's why. You know, we don't want our children to believe that we accept this by giving this our money and endorsing it. I mean, where do we draw the line on all this, guys? I mean, oh, I know. I've got the answer for that question. We have to go by the Word of God. Don't you know the sinful acts are obvious? You don't support people that don't support your belief structure. Don't do that. You know, sometimes you have to go to the grocery store, and you may not realize, like yesterday, we went over to Publix, and they basically were started up. They were started by the Jenkins family, a very conservative Baptist family, and they basically have grown now huge. They have like 500,000 employees. Well, they started a thing called Greenwise, which is like an organic Publix. They're about a quarter of the size of a regular Publix, so they're like a Whole Foods, and they actually have the ability to give us organic food and not have to support Jeff Bezos or Amazon, who bought Whole Foods. And yesterday I'm walking out. I bought three organic, you know, chill chickens that had been, you know, rotisserie chickens there. One for Austin, two for me and Sharon. I love those chickens. They're like $7 for an organic chicken. And by the time you run the utilities and cook a chicken, you can't make one that cheap anyhow for organic. And I stopped four of the executives coming in yesterday. And I said, you guys are Publix employees. He said, well, yeah, we're management. I said, okay. I said, congratulations. I said, thank you so much for doing this. I said, I take a toll road to get here. I have to pay tolls to come here to support you guys. But we don't have to support Jeff Bezos and Amazon. And I said, you guys realize that he owns Whole Foods? They go, yeah, we do. I said, look, you need to be building these things all over the country. You need to give us an alternative to support. And not support, you know, somebody like Bezos, who's controlled through the international banking cartels. And I'm having this whole conversation in the parking lot yesterday at the Greenwash store. And they all looked at me and they said, well, man, we want to thank you so much for, you know, for coming over and supporting us and letting us know this. And I said, look, I said, here's the thing. I said, if we don't support one another, if we don't support Christian businesses, then what in the world are we doing? Well, I could buy it cheaper for get it. I can get it here local for a dollar more, a dollar less. Well, okay, you probably can. But what did you do with that dollar? Does it really matter? Is it that bad that you've got to be willing to give a globalist like Jeff Bezos an extra dollar by going to Whole Foods because he's 10 minutes closer, 2 minutes closer, 1 minute closer? Think through what I'm saying. Always think about what we're doing and how it's affecting other people. Always put God first. And when I say God, I'm talking about the great I am. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Moses. I'm talking about the book of Genesis. I'm talking about the creator of the heavens and the earth and Jesus Christ. That's when I say God, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about some new age God that everybody wants to talk about now. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Jesus. That's who I'm talking about. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And that's what we have to understand. Because if we don't do that, what ends up happening is, you know, we basically get into a situation that, you know, we start compromising and believing anything there is to believe. And we just take for granted what God has done for us. That's one thing I love about Coach Dobemeyer. Oh my gosh, that guy he's a macho dude, man. I love that brother. And he's a good friend. And he's always sending me his new articles, and I'm always commenting on him. He always does such a good job. I mean, we're in Washington, D.C., and I looked at him, and we're walking the halls of Congress, and we're trying to meet with congressional leaders up there. And I looked at him, and I said, Coach, you realize something's... He says, what's that? I said, we're like the only straight people here. Like, almost everybody here is gay. And he goes, man, dude, I thought I was the only one to notice that. He goes, this is ridiculous. And I said, it is ridiculous. So, I mean, we're talking like that openly. I love that guy. He's willing to go out there and get bold and tell the truth. We can't just continue to be wishy-washy all the time. We can't do that. We got to tell the truth. Like, here's another one. What border crackdown? This is from the Ledger here locally. Migrant smuggling business is thriving. It says, and what they're talking about, this is an article by Sherman. It goes, the hardening of the U.S. and Mexican immigration policies has complicated the business because there are more security forces on both sides of the border. But Manuel isn't worried. Yes, there are fewer risking the journey out of pocket money. It's mounted with the need to pay over escalating bribes. But the cartel also charges more conclusion. The money keeps flowing and the migrants keep flowing and nothing has slowed down. Wow. Think about that for a second. Now we can think of only his daughter and the $4,000 they already paid, and they couldn't afford to lose. I mean, they pay these guys money to bring them across the border, and it's a lot easier for these guys to make money on smuggling migrants in than it is for them to grow dope and bring dope across the country, because the penalties are much less too. And so what they'd rather do is make $4,000 or $5,000 a person by bringing them in, and it's not going to slow down. The only way to stop this mess is to basically eliminate the porous border that we have in the United States. But Donald Trump has rebuilt 69 miles of fencing. He hadn't built any new fencing, supposedly, but he's rebuilt 69 miles of fencing with a fence, not a wall. You know, if you want to really know how to build a wall, you really want to know how to do this. I got to give him kudos on this. Look at the Israeli-Palestinian wall, the 50-foot monolith, okay, with the guard towers and the machine gun turrets. You want to put a wall up? I'm not advocating shooting migrants. I'm not doing that. But you can sure put passive denial systems all around that border. I mean, we're spending almost a trillion dollars a year on our defense. Where's all that money going? Where's that giant black hole? Why don't we put up a wall with active denial, passive denial systems, you know, every 100 meters, every 200 meters, whatever it takes, and have them in a sweep, an arc, and nobody's going to get close to that doggone wall. So we'll stop it then. We'll stop this massive influx of illegal immigration. Of course, now Germany is asking for more immigration. They want more migrants. They're saying that they still don't have any skilled workers. Angela Merkel decided to take the 60 IQ Somalians into her country, you know, by the truckload. Train load, plane load, whatever they came, marching load, and now she's got a whole bunch of people that they're having to support, and she still doesn't have skilled workers. Let me tell you something, Miss Communist Merkel. Miss Communist Merkel raised in Soviet Russia, East Germany. Let me tell you something, Miss Merkel. If you want to increase your indigenous population of people that are highly skilled workers, give your indigenous population an incentive from a cash flow standpoint. Give them $10,000, $20,000 a year. You got plenty of money in Germany. Obviously, you've proven that. Bring the whole world over there. Give them $20,000 a year in income per child they have. Oh, yeah. You'll be having 4 and 5 German kids being raised in every German family if you do that. Give them 4 kids, get $80,000 in tax credits every single year. Yeah. You'll have more Germans than you know what to do with. You keep taxing them like you do, like they do over here, and they find out how expensive children are to raise, you won't have them. That's what Russia does now. They give them economic incentives. So does Hungary. They give them economic incentives to produce little Russians, little Hungarians, little patriots. That's how you increase the population. Not through unbridled immigration. That's how you destroy your country. Because that's how you destroy nationalism. Because these people who come to the country have no idea the principles or the foundation of what causes this country to be great. Because they're just happy to get out of that third world H-E double sticks hole that they came from and have something to eat every day. That's how you destroy a country. You bring in people. That's what happened in Virginia. Virginia brought all those migrants in. All those people came in. And they made that state doggone communist now. And now they're trying to take the guns away. Guys, wow. You guys have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. I love you guys. I appreciate you. It was my privilege to share scripture with you today. It was my privilege to pray for you guys today. Remember, guys, I started the show off. I'm going to do it again. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad at it. If you're born again and you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, you will never die. You will simply go to the next phase of your existence for eternity. You will live forever. You have nothing to fear on this earth. We're built of a power. We are born again of a spirit of a sound mind, not a fear. Power and love and a sound mind, Timothy tells us. And that's how we're going to depart this planet. And that's how we're going to live, especially if you listen to this show. I love you guys. I'll be on with Hagman tonight. God bless you guys. Also, go ahead and take it. I will talk to you guys on Monday.
Absolutely, guys. And I mean, this is what we continually talk about. And this is why I've said so many times before. If we really wanted to stop the border problem, we would just add another, say, 10,000 U.S. military contractors or border patrol, put it that way. That way nobody's conflicting anything. We have tens of thousands of guys that come back over from the Middle East on a yearly basis, all over the place, looking for jobs. You put them in a border patrol position. Say, I mean, say 10,000. You had 10,000 more border agents. Give them incentives. Say, average $50,000 a year. Just random number on that. 10,000 guys, $50,000 a year. That's $500 million. But we turn around and we'll give $20 billion to Israel because they demand it, or $30 billion, or $40 billion, whatever it is now. And we just give it away because they demand it. But $500 million, another 10,000 troops on what I think average was like 1,900 miles of U.S. Mexico border. That means you would have 5 agents, additional agents for every mile of border wall. 5. So you have 5-man fire teams with a 1-mile basically border that they patrol. I mean, do you understand how tight you would lock down everything? A five-man fire team every single mile on the entire border all the way down. And that's just the 10,000 that I added to it. That doesn't include the rest of the Border Patrol and the drones and the helicopters, everything else. But again, see, they don't care about locking the border down. They can say, oh, we need another $4 or $5 billion to build the wall. Walls are only as good as the people guarding them are. Remember that. You can have the biggest wall in the world. If nobody ever guards it or ever looks at it, somebody will get around it or underneath it or over it or through it at some point in time. You have to have security no matter what on a wall. So instead of urinating all this money away on big talks of this massive expensive wall, increase jobs, increase basically individuals that have the opportunity to work when they get back from the Middle East. That would make a huge difference. So again, thank you for the support of Health Masters. We're continually trying to give you guys the latest, greatest, most updated news as well. Be sure to look out for a lot of those. There's another article I'm going to talk about on Monday, basically discussing a new article that was brought by Scientific American that was reported out of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Bill Gates now is funding a program that will essentially embed a child's vaccine record directly into their skin using a special dye that is invisible to the naked eye. I know that sounds like some sci-fi, Star Wars, Star Trek, whatever you want to call it kind of stuff. It's not. It's because now they want to be able to make sure every single child's been vaccinated, and they can monitor you now by scanning it. And now they're also saying, too, they're coming up with new technology. It's almost like a claw pinprick that basically stamps it onto your skin, and it doesn't hurt as bad as a normal hypodermic needle, to try to make it as easy as possible to get as many people vaccinated. So all these things are starting to turn out for 2020. All these things are starting to come to the surface, as we've talked about for years. So stay awake, stay prepared, stay trained up, get in the gym, go walk around, get some exercise, go to the range, go to somebody's property, and train actively with your firearms, especially with team training, making sure you have muzzle awareness, reloads, covering concealment, and so forth. And again, thank you for the support. I think Ted's going to be on the Hagman Show tonight. It's going to be a very interesting show, as always. Have an awesome, safe Friday night. Have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you again Monday, as always.